Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. I want to share something this morning with a while ago, and this is a very familiar portion of Scripture. You know, I want to show you something from Mark 5, verse 21. Because when we get ourselves in problems, you know, how do we get God's attention? Because many of us, we can bawl and we can squall and we can shout and we can wave our arms and stamp our feet, or we can cry out and say, God, I'm in a mess. Or we can rehearse the problem over to God, and we can tell him all the needs, and we can shout, and we can get angry, and we can say, God, why am I in this mess? What am I doing? Why are you leaving me like this? And it seems that all our shouting, all our crying, all our stamping of our feet and the waving of our arms, it seems that God isn't hearing what we're saying. So how can we get God's attention? Well, the answer is very simply. I want you to come with me to verse 21 of Mark 5. It says, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. This man, this ruler of the synagogue, this man who had great importance in the town where they were, he came to Jesus. He heard about Jesus. And he came because his daughter was at the point of death. She was suffering. And listen to the words that he spoke to Jesus. Now, he didn't come stamping his feet and shouting and crying and complaining. Yes, he came. It says he begged him, Lord, please come and lay your hands on her. But we need to look at the words he uses, because the words he uses are very significant here. He says, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her. That she may be healed, and she will live. How do we bring our prayers to the Father? Do we come and say, or do we come like Jairus and say, Jesus, I've got a problem. I'd like you to come down to my house now. Lay your hands on her so that my little girl will live. You know, he's making a confession of his faith here. He's saying, she will live if you come and lay your hands on her. Now, if you want to get God's attention, it's not how loud you can pray or how loud you can shout. It's not how many things you can do. Because, believe me, there are people that are taught that it depends on works, how much you can do. No. If you want to get God's attention, you have to do one little thing. Well, I say little thing. You have to do one thing. Come in faith. Because faith is giving honor to God, and when you give honor to God, God will give honor to you. When you come in faith, you know, the whole of heaven comes to a standstill, and God says, hang on! One of my children is talking to me. And he's coming in faith. And gets God's attention.
Amen.
There was another woman in this passage of scripture. And we see the same thing here. We're going to look at her in a second. But look at verse 34. Verse 30. It says, Jesus immediately knew in himself that power had gone out of him. And he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? How did this woman get Jesus? Look at the words it says in the scriptures. To turn. What was Jesus doing at this moment? He was making his way to the house, the home of the ruler of the synagogue. Why? Because he had implored him to come and lay his hands on his little girl so that she may be healed and she will live. And so he was making his journey. And he was walking the road down to Jairus' house. And on the way, this woman touched Jesus. And it says in the scriptures there in verse 30 that he turned to see who had touched him. Something got Jesus' attention on the road. Now, why was the act of the woman touching Jesus' garment? Look at the words she says. Verse 28. If only I may touch his clothes. If only I may touch his clothes. Maybe.
No.
If only I touch his clothes. I don't know whether it's going to work or not, but there's some jam hole. No, there's no doubt there. I shall be made well. You know, that act of faith got Jesus' attention. And when we come in faith like that, we get God's attention. Now, I want to show you something from this scripture. Because I've been teaching on a Sunday evening on the subject of resting. And we've been resting in God. And we've been going through just this last few weeks looking at the life of Abraham. Because we see in the life of Abraham, he was a man who had an unwavering, confident faith in God. And what we have here in Mark 5 are two people with a confident faith in God. Now, what's the biggest problem when it comes to our faith? What is the biggest trial of our faith? What do you think it is? The need? Do you think it's perhaps our lack of it sometimes? Well, I want to tell you, it's not a lot of things that people think it is. Well, you don't know, brother, you don't know the problems I'm going through. The problem is not your problem when it comes to faith. The biggest trial of your faith is something that we have no control over. Something that we live by every day of the year of our lives.
Time.
Time is your biggest trial when it comes to faith. Why? Because we want things now. You know, we have as I'm sure most of you do, we have something in our house which it's a little gadget that sits in the kitchen. And this gadget enables us to cook something at lightning speed.
A microwave.
Now, I haven't done this for a long time, but when we were in the UK, I used this particular microwave. We used to go home from church on a Sunday morning, and if we were having something like a chicken for our lunch, I could put the chicken into the microwave. Now, I tended to do this because Jane didn't know how to operate the microwave. She has since learned how to program it. But she didn't know how to do it. So I used to take the chicken after Sunday and I used to put it into a dish, into the microwave. Do you know how long I used to cook this chicken for? Not quite 10 minutes. About 25 minutes. And this whole chicken came out cooked. Now, you know, you couldn't put it in the oven for 20 minutes and expect it to be cooked. But we like things quickly, now, instantly. And you look at society, everything is governed by this, I want it now. But that's not the case with faith. Time is our biggest enemy. As we go through this portion of scripture, and I must go through quickly. Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house. This woman who has a need. The Bible tells us about this woman. She's been suffering with this need for 12 years. She's got this hemorrhage, which has been causing her problems. She's visited every doctor in the town. She's trying her best to get better. She's doing what she knows right to do. You know, it's good to do what we know is right to do. And so she hears one day that Jesus is in the vicinity. And she says, oh, I've got to get to Jesus. If I can just get to him, I can just touch the hem of his garment, his robe. She says, I shall be made whole. I'm going to be made whole if I can just get to him. And so she does everything that she knows to do. And, you know, she sees Jesus and there's a big crowd just like this around him. Just imagine, I'm the woman and Jesus is up there back where Sister Larry is sitting. And she says, if I could just get to him. You know, she began to push her way through the crowd. She did everything she knew what to do. You know, and when she finally got to Jesus, she reached out at almost at full length. And she just touched the bottom of his garment. And the Bible says, instantly. Now, we like instantlies. I like it when there's an instantly. Now, for that woman, she received an instant miracle. She was filled with the power of God. She felt within herself that she was healed of that affliction. And do you know what happened? Everything stopped for the woman. Jesus is on his way to the ruler of the synagogue, to his house, to touch his daughter, who was critical at the point of death. And here is a woman who has stopped the procession. What would you be doing now if you were Jairus? Say, come on, Jesus, we gotta go. Come on, time's against us. My little daughter is dying. But this whole procession stops. And this woman begins to tell her story to Jesus. How do we know that? Well, we have her life. The apostle penned her story for us, so we have it. Now Jairus is listening to all this story. He's listening to this woman go on and on and on about a whole life story. And he's probably pacing up and down, you know, like us men do, you know. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then something happens. Somebody from the household comes to find him. And this person, this messenger says, Jairus, stop. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter has died. How would you react if you was in Jairus' shoes? Now, there are some issues here which you need to know. This woman was not, we know that, she was not going to quit and give up. But when this news came from Jairus' house, the need, now had the need been eliminated, or had the need suddenly got worse? What would you have said? Would you have said, oh, okay, Jesus, you can go home now. It's too late. But do you know what Jesus turned around? Do you know, this is my, I'm going to give you my translation of verse 36. If you can give me verse 36, please cheek up. Verse 36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, he said, Jairus, he said, don't quit now. Don't give up now. Don't be afraid. He said, keep on believing. Keep on believing. Don't quit. You know, you've come too far now to quit. Don't give up. You know, we can almost see your house. You know, what do we say? We've come in faith to God. We've brought our request to him. We've got his attention. God started to work on our behalf. And then something else happens. Something goes wrong. Something doesn't quite fall into place the way we want it. What do we say? Oh, God, now it's too late. No, don't give up. Don't be afraid. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. You know, we hear a lot about endurance. Now, when we often hear this word endurance, there's a scripture which says that we've got to endure hardship like a good soldier. What does this word endure mean? That we've got to suffer, that we've got to go through all the pain and all the problems. Yes, brother, but you've got to endure hardship. Well, I know you're going through a problem, sister, but you know what the Word of God says? It says you've got to endure hardship. This word endure does not mean that we have got to put up with whatever the devil throws at us. This word endure means to keep on doing what's right. It means to be persistent. To be persistent. To remain. To be steadfast. And if we keep on believing, we are steadfast. Keeping on doing what is right. Now, here are some issues, and I see time is running out on me already. Here are some issues that Jairus faced. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. He had a place of prominence in the town, in the society. This woman had a need. This woman had a need. She had an issue of blood, a flow of blood, a hemorrhage of blood. Now, under the Levitical laws, this woman was not even allowed in that crowd of people. She had to stay away. She came into a public place with a discharge from her body, which was against the Levitical law. And of all the people in the town that she was now face to face with, was the one person who could have had her stoned to death. The ruler of the synagogue. But we don't see that in Jairus. He hears the news that his daughter is dead. He couldn't. Who's he going to blame? Is he going to blame the woman? Is he going to blame Jesus? Is he going to... No, he doesn't blame anybody. Because Jesus says to him, don't be afraid, Jairus. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep believing. I want to suggest to you that this account, what actually happened here, on this particular day when this woman came to Jesus... Do you know actually who was in that crowd? The ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, he was there. He saw what happened. He saw that this woman had been touched. He heard her testimony. He heard her life story. He saw the way Jesus handled it. I believe this man was encouraged by what had happened. Which is why Jesus could say, look, Jairus, don't give up now. He says, you've seen what's happened. You've seen the miracle that's taken place. Don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. Just keep on believing and the same will happen for you. The same will happen for you. In the book of Romans chapter 4, and this is what we've been looking at on a Sunday evening. Looking at the life of Abraham. It says something about Abraham in Romans 4, which I just want to wrap up with. Now, you know Abraham's story. God promised Abraham, or Abram as he was in them days, and Sarai, his wife, that they would have a child. Now, at the time, Abraham and Sarai were already well advanced in their years. If you suddenly heard the news at 75 years old that you were going to have a baby, would you believe it? Well, we know Sarah, she laughed in her tent. But the fact was that God had promised this couple, this aging couple, that they were going to have a child. And you know what Abraham does, because he's he wants to help God along with the promise. And so they come up with this plan. And Sarah says, oh, look, this is no good for me. You know, I'm never going to have a baby at my age. So why don't I give you my maidservant? And they come up with this plan, and they have a baby by the maidservant, and this is Ishmael. But this isn't God's promise. And then God changes, a few years later, God changes their life. And from then on, we have this great testimony recorded about Abraham. He says, and Romans 4 verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was now about 100 years, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and I love these words, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was also able to perform or bring to pass. So when we come in faith, we come with a confident faith. We don't have to quit. We don't have to give up. We can press on. We can endure. We don't focus on the problem, but we focus on the one who's able to meet the need. We don't talk about the problem. Many of us, we get great joy out of rehearsing our problems. My father, some of you know my father. And he's got hanging in his house, he's got a text that says something along the lines of, he says, don't tell your God how big your problems are. He says, tell your problems how big your God is. We don't rehearse the problem over and over and over and over and over. Start rehearsing how good Jesus is. Amen. He's going to meet my need. He's the supplier. He's my Jehovah Jireh. Amen. And then, very quickly, you'll see that the problem is gone. Amen. It's finished. Amen. Why? Because you've endured in faith. You've not given up. You've not quit. You've kept on believing, standing strong, doing what you know is right to do. Do you know Jairus? They went down to Jairus' house, and do you know that little girl that had died? Jesus gave her back alive to her parents. Why? Because...